I'm Jo Beckett, CEO of IDPE, and today I'm joined by John Ruxburton, founder and managing partner of Ruxburton Associates, and we'll be discussing how development has and continues to make an impact for schools. So, John, you've been in the sector since the very beginning. I'm just interested in what you see as been the biggest changes that you've seen in schools development over the past two decades.
I suppose the most incredible thing is really the growth of the number of schools that have got involved in this. 20 years ago, there were a handful of schools who were thinking about development. Some universities had done it, some Oxford and Cambridge colleges, but the idea of professional offices in schools was quite a novel one. Today, it's almost ubiquitous, and it would be regarded as really quite surprising if a school wasn't looking to raise voluntary income in one way or another.
Obviously, there's been a huge growth in the number of development offices, as you rightly say. What have you seen have been the greatest challenges that schools have come up against in this last 20 years as the sector's grown?
I guess understanding that it's a long-term process and that people have different levels of engagement and what they will do for a school. And so, quite often, institutions will try and fundraise and they will have very big ideas and will find that those are not successful and will fail to realise that that doesn't mean those ideas can't be successful, but they actually have to invest time and build trust and move people from a point where they're making a obligation gift, which can be at a really quite a small level, to a point where people are thinking, this is actually the charity that I really want to support. I am committed to this and I want to make a big change. And that means that I'm going to make personal sacrifices to actually give at a level which will affect that change. It takes time to get people to that sort of point.
It's about developing a culture and deeper relationships.
I think very much so. Schools, you know, any charity, anybody can put forward a big vision and have a big plan, but people looking at it from the outside may say, yes, I approve of that, but they won't necessarily believe that it's going to happen, and they won't necessarily believe it's going to deliver the sort of benefits that are being discussed. So it's important that a school actually offers projects it can achieve very quickly, does those projects, shows the benefit, gets people to actually believe that what they say they're going to do, they will do. And then from that, they can then do bigger and bigger projects and people will actually invest in them. If you start with a very large project and try and put that across to people, there's a real danger that they will see it as wonderful, but potentially a pipe dream. You've got to get them to the point where they go, I've seen what these people do. They do extraordinary things. I believe in them. It does sound an incredibly ambitious project, but these are people who will deliver it. And that, again, takes time.
And moving forward, the sector's now raising over £150 million. In your view, where should development professionals and schools be focusing their time and resources moving forward so that they can continue to achieve these levels of success that have been achieved?
I think that's probably a difficult question to give an answer to in a general sense, because even though we're 20 years or so into this, schools are still at different levels and different stages in their programme. So you've got schools who are very well engaged with their parent body. They've got programmes running with past parents. They've got lots of alumni on board to what they're doing. I'm going to conferences and people are asking me questions like, what should we do with our past staff? Because they potentially could be people who would do things like leave legacies. Well, those schools who are thinking in those terms, they're at the stage where they're having to start to think about, could they engage actually wealthy local individuals who want to see young people in their area given the opportunity of education in that way? Could they reach out beyond their traditional local communities? That's not a novel or crazy idea. If you look at a school like Sherburn School in the 1850s, Lord Digby went round the town and raised a subscription to build a new library and to build the chapel at the school. He got local people to invest because it was a school that provided benefit for many of those people, and if it didn't provide benefit immediately for a particular individual in the area, they could see within a societal sense it provided benefit and was important for their community. So there is that opportunity for schools to do that, but there are other schools where at the moment they don't know where half their alumni are at the moment, and they don't know, and they haven't even dared to go out and ask parents. So there are lots of different stages, and some people need to advance in the way that those other schools that I described have done so. Some of them need to say, well, we've gone a long way with our normal groups. We need to be more adventurous and think, how can we stretch beyond that?
So given the different nature and different stages of schools development, if there was one thing that you would advise or suggest that schools focus on, what would that be?
Keep asking. Lots of institutions worry that they will get into donor fatigue, that people will become tired of being asked. They will run a capital campaign and then they'll think that they should have a rest for a while. They think that they need to prepare a lot before they can ask people for anything. They will come up with all kinds of reasons to not go out and ask, because they don't fully appreciate that actually asking is one of the most powerful tools of engagement that you can have. So making sure that they go out and ask in a sensible and appropriate way on a frequent basis, and they keep at it. If they can get a process of engagement, asking, doing something with the money, reporting back, going out engaging some more, and they keep at that, people will start to believe, and then bigger things will follow.
So it's about activity and focusing on the asking cycle.
Absolutely. But that doesn't mean, of course, that one is seeing everything in terms... One is seeing things in terms of asking, not necessarily in terms of giving, in the sense that there will be lots of people who you ask who won't give. What is important is that you find a way of asking, a way of doing it in an engaged way, so that actually people are more likely to give in the future. It's very interesting. We've looked at the statistics of this and actually find that people who have in the past said, I'd like to give, but I can't afford to, actually, if you go back to them in the future and ask them for a rather lesser gift, they are more likely to make a donation than people who've never been asked before. So that process of asking, even if it doesn't work, can be a process towards a point where it does work. And if you see it in those terms, it's an engagement tool. If you only measure your success by whether or not they said yes, then you're not doing anything. Then it isn't engaging.
So it's remembering the old adage, fundraising is a natural outcome of good engagement.
That I think is absolutely true.
John, thank you so much for sharing your experience and your wisdom with us today. Thank you for joining us.